Hello everyone and welcome to the Control Risks podcast. I'm Federico Saleri and today I'm here with Chris Torrens, a partner in our China business. We're going to look at how businesses are being affected by current pandemic and what our clients should be thinking about as the pandemic spreads. As the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak keeps growing, businesses all over the world are finding themselves in various stages of the crisis management life cycle. We at Control Risks understand that it is critical to monitor the current situation closely, but also that because of the global impact on supply chains and the regulatory environment, the world post-coronavirus will be a different one. With this premise, we're going to try and keep it short. So, Chris, thank you very much for joining. Can you please start with a summary of the situation?
Of course. Thanks, Federico. So COVID-19 obviously has had a huge impact on daily life and business in China. There's been massive disruption there since it first surfaced in the media back in the third week of January. But nearly 6 weeks on, maybe over 6 weeks now, COVID has actually reached every continent. It's spread across Asia Pacific. It's featuring very strongly in South Korea and Japan now. It's jumped further afield to the Middle East, where Iran is suffering. Italy is another hotspot in Europe. And of course, it's more recently reached the US and even touched sub-Saharan Africa with the first case recorded in Nigeria. So it's moved from being just a China problem to something affecting all of us and affecting all businesses around the world. That means, of course, the different stages that the virus is at means that companies at different stages of response as well, depending on where they're based and where their operations are. This spread of the virus isn't entirely surprising, given that 250,000 people travel into and out of China every day for work or on holiday, and also the fact that China's got dozens of cities with international connections to the US, Europe, and the rest of Asia. And that includes the epicenter of the pandemic, the city of Wuhan. Wuhan is the capital of Hubei province, which is itself has got a population of nearly 60 million people. It's about 1,000 kilometers west of Shanghai, and around 20 million people pass through Wuhan International Airport every year. And the city is also connected to the rest of the country by a high-speed rail network. So that's ensured that the virus is spread internally as well as spreading internationally. I think in some ways it's surprising the pandemic didn't spread overseas earlier.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if that's in fact the case. If we take our clients as an example, what are they doing in response to the crisis?
Well, the health impact has been huge within China. The vast majority of infections and deaths have been in Hubei province. And of course, that's now being felt elsewhere around the world with more than 50 countries affected and infections and death rates rising. And sadly, that's going to increase over the coming weeks and months. So the immediate concern for our clients and for all businesses is people's well-being and how they can reduce health risk as much as possible at a tactical level. And that's through basic personal hygiene, it's through travel restrictions, it's through flexible working conditions such as working from home. And our strategic partner, International SOS, is providing a lot of excellent information and advice on their website, which is proving very helpful for businesses.
So health risks, travel restrictions, with all the related quarantine and self-quarantine policies, which both of us are currently experiencing firsthand, apart from these issues, which on a regular day would cause bad enough headaches to our clients, where else are we pointing the attention to? Where are we seeing additional operational risks?
So you're right, we're all very much feeling the immediate impact of COVID-19 in terms of health risks and travel restrictions. But the longer term impact is likely to be felt more in areas such as the global supply chain. And that's going to have a bigger strategic impact on businesses in the longer term. We're seeing disruption to the globalized manufacturing and production of major multinationals. And that's those shockwaves are being felt around the world now. I mean, it's already beginning to happen for the big multinationals in China because their huge supply chains are more often than not very deeply integrated with China. But smaller companies as well that may have been scarcely aware that their supply chains even touch China, they're also feeling it. And the problem is that many of these companies have got just a single source reliance on production, and they're frantically trying now to set up alternative sourcing options. The challenge is that factories across China have closed and workers are staying at home, and that's causing the bulk of the supply chain disruption. The other challenge is that local governments, local authorities have put a lot of pretty tough local regulations in place, and these vary from province to province, from city to city, and even down to the neighbourhood level. So you've got these problems with workers, you've got these problems with regulations. But even after those problems begin to get solved and businesses get the green light and factories reopen, it's going to take time for manufacturers to get up to speed. And that's because many of the workers in factories, the blue-collar employees, are actually migrants. They're migrant workers who may have moved to major cities in search of work many years ago. But every year, and we're talking, remember, about a migrant population, probably more than 250 million people, every year they head back home to their villages and towns in central, western, northwestern China for the Spring Festival. They go back every year. This year it was in late January. And there they celebrate Chinese New Year with their families. They enjoy a couple of weeks off or up to a month before they travel back. Of course, once the pandemic started to spread, they will have had second thoughts about heading back, and an unknown number of workers have actually remained at home, no doubt waiting until COVID-19 has passed. So companies are now having to take into account the challenges their suppliers are facing, not just from these regulations from local government, but from the fact that they've got these very real work shortages because so many migrant workers haven't come back to work.
Of course, there's all sorts of information on our website and on the core platform. I also want to mention that we're working with another strategic partner, Oxford Economics, to assess the impact on national and global economic growth. So at the very start of the year, Oxford Economics forecast global GDP growth for 2020 at 2.5%, which is the same as 2019. Oxford Economics now estimates that the cost of COVID-19 on the global economy could be as much as 1.3%. which would push global GDP growth for the year down to 1.2%, which is dangerously close to recession territory. So effectively, what our colleagues Ken Kettle and John McPherson said last week in the webinar, what's been happening in China over the past 8 weeks has been a punch in the face to global businesses. What kind of tactical support are we giving our clients in China?
So we're helping our clients in China in three main areas. The first is monitoring. A lot of the monitoring we're doing for our clients at the moment involves checking suppliers. So we're seeing if suppliers still have their factories closed or whether they've already opened. And if they have opened and they're operating, what capacity they're at. We're also looking at what kinds of local regulations these suppliers are having to deal with. And these regulations, remember, are changing sometimes on a weekly basis based on how the pandemic ebbs and flows. And then we're looking at port operations, because in many cases, the disruption to supply chains is not so much at the factory, at the point of production or manufacture, but actually it's at the point of exit or the point of entry. And ports are struggling to comply with local health requirements. They're also struggling to get migrant workers back. They're even struggling with containers supplies. So a whole load of containers, because of the global supply chain disruption, are sitting on the other side of the world rather than necessarily sitting in China. So there are problems there as well. So the immediate impact on supply chains has been to delay or remove entirely the supply of components needed for manufacturing and production elsewhere around the world. And we've seen instances of that in the auto sector with US, Japanese, South Korean car companies having their production outside China disrupted because they can't get the components to their factories from inside China. We're seeing problems in renewable energy, high-tech manufacturing. Some of our clients have been able to switch sourcing, particularly where the component has been non-essential, and that's the case in consumer goods to an extent. But where there's a more technical component, such as for high-end manufacturing, or where it involves raw materials which can only be found in China or only are being exploited in China, rare earths, for example, that's also proved a real headache for our clients as well.
So we're providing monitoring support, but what are we doing to help with these strategic elements, such as recovery, for example, in order to help companies adapting to this brave new world?
Yeah, there are two more areas we're working on with clients. And the second one takes us beyond the tactical, more into the strategic, I suppose. It's scenario planning, and we're doing business impact assessments based around those scenarios. So we're working with companies to build scenarios for them, creating trigger points, which will help them make business decisions based on those scenarios. And then we watch how the developments unfold over the coming months. And this allows our clients to prepare for a range of eventualities, because obviously we can't know exactly what's going to happen over the next 3 to 6 months. And then our clients can calibrate their recovery plans based on all of those scenarios. And those scenarios are not just based on timing, so best case being, you know, business as usual by the end of March, and worst case by the end of September, for example. But we're also doing scenarios based around specific markets. So, for example, what's the ability of Russia's health system to deal with the pandemic once a whole load of clients start turning up in Russian hospitals? And what potential impact will that have on the Putin administration and, you know, political stability more broadly? And we can do the same for Iran, even for the US. So along with those scenarios, we're also doing these business impact assessments, which look at our clients' operations and investments and see how they're likely to be affected. So within China, we're looking at the consequences for joint ventures, for partnerships with suppliers. And then more broadly, we're looking at some sectors to see how there are changes in terms of industry regulation, how the competitive environment has changed. So some key competitors may be changing their own business direction. They may even be struggling to stay in business. And then also looking at market demand and how the consumer has responded to the virus as well. And then the third area we're helping our clients with is around business continuity and this all-important idea of recovery. So the first two, the tactical monitoring and the more strategic scenario planning, combine and feed into companies' recovery plans. And that's at the business continuity planning level, but also increasingly at a strategic level as we see supply chain coming back onto the agendas of the C-suite and the CEO. So the focus needs to be on recovery. You know, what does your business and your market look like after COVID-19? And some companies have even set up recovery teams working with the C-suite to deal with these areas, and we're working with those teams.
So to wrap up, Chris, what are the key messages for clients when looking at their strategies with regards to COVID-19?
So beyond what we've covered here, I think the main message is that the post-COVID-19 world, if indeed there will be a post-COVID-19 world, it may be that we just have to live with the virus on a seasonal basis. But once we get back to some semblance of normality, there will, of course, be new challenges around regulatory compliance, around the competitive environment, around the new reality with supply chains. But it's important to remember that there will also be opportunities that may not have been there before. And it's important to think in those terms when one's looking at recovery and the new environment that companies will find themselves in once we're back to normal. And it's also really important to get a positive message out to workforces, particularly those people in China who've already been through a lot and are probably worried about future business. So while there are challenges, we're really encouraging our clients to look at the opportunities that will emerge once we get back to more normal business environment.
This was Chris Torrens, partner in our China practice. Please log on to CORE for additional analysis, our website for dedicated services, and reach out to your account manager to see how we at Control Risks can help you. I'm Federico Saleri, and thank you all very much for listening to this podcast from Control Risks.